Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I want to change your mind, okay? And I want you to hear me out. Stop talking about the mall. Oh, well, nothing's going on at the mall. Do you know when the Ark of the Covenant was being moved, with David was moving it to Jerusalem? While it was being moved, I think it was Uzzah, he reached out to touch the ark. And when he touched the ark, he died, because that's what happened when you touch the ark. Amen. So David was a little afraid. And I think he was the guy that said, well, I'll take the ark to my house. They took the ark to his house. When the ark was in his house, the ark caused his house, the Bible says, to become blessed. Amen. So listen to me. The mall is going to be blessed. Amen. The mall is going to be greatly blessed because we are going to be there. Amen. Because you are going to be there. Who carries the presence of God? You carry the presence of God. We carry the presence of God. So everything is going to change. Okay. Already while we were there, we've seen, I was in the manager's office. And I was standing, I didn't tell this to the first group, and I need to hurry up. I was in the manager's office, and while I was standing in the office, in walks a couple that I know that had a little restaurant downtown here. And they walk in and they go, oh, Pastor Alex, how are you? Da, 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 da. What are you doing here? And I said, well, we're renting space. And this was her response. She said, well, if they're coming to the mall, then so are we. Amen. So praise God. Amen. And amen. You know, we have already, since we've been there, we've seen the entire food court now has been rented out. There's been spots that have been rented out. But not only that, we are trusting God that that mall will come alive. You must remember that one of the things that the Lord does in the book of Acts, it's very clear, is create community. You know, they speak, I was reading articles about how the mall has not been doing well over the years and it's changed hands. Let me tell you, the mall will become very valuable. The mall will become a very special place because of you guys that will be in the mall. Amen. All right, now, so the build out we are estimating will cost around about between $400,000 and $500,000. Now, I know it sounds like a lot, but remember what I said to you. In the long run, we still save a lot of money. So it is a lot of money. A lot of that consists of equipment and chairs and all that stuff that will all be reused wherever we decide to go in the future. And that's really good. Now, the good news is that we are at least halfway there already. We already have at least half of that money. Amen. So God is providing. But guys, we still need to raise the other half. So please get behind the building fund. Amen. Get behind it. We don't have a lot of time. We need this money like now. Amen. So let's bring it in. Amen. Make a commitment. Get behind it. And listen, don't think that your commitment, if it's $5, is too little. It's not too little. Just for you to be able to say, I sowed a seed into that building. I sowed a seed into what God is going to be doing. You will be blessed. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's quickly just show them one or two other pictures. Let's look inside the sanctuary. Okay, that's kind of like what the sanctuary will look like inside. We're going to start with around 500 chairs, and that will be able to go to 700 chairs once we're done. We're going to have Bible school facilities in there. The growth that will be able to take place will get us to about the point. We're estimating that we'll probably be able to grow two services to 1,300 people, which is really awesome, guys. Amen. We've got 5 years there. You know, if God decides to grow us faster, we trust God, they'll give us more space in the mall. Amen. And so we're just excited about that. But get excited. Get excited because it's going to be amazing. Amen. How do I know it's going to be amazing? Because ever since we started, the opposition has been roaring against us. Amen. So I know that they're not happy. The enemy is not happy about what God is about to do. But listen, when you go into that mall, tell them, I want you to know we're from the church and we're supporting you. When you go and you buy something, tell them, we're from the church and we want to let you know that we're here to support you. Amen. 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 All right. Hallelujah. All right, I want to show you more pictures, but I need to get to my sermon. We will do that next week. Keep watching online. We'll keep you posted. There's all kinds of little videos of Kevin running around with wheelbarrows, and it's all exciting. Stay on Facebook. Keep watching. And again, guys, thank you so much to all the volunteers. We cannot do this without you. And it's been so encouraging. It's been such a blessing. We've been there from 8:30 in the morning till 1 a.m. at night, well, in the morning again. And it was so funny. I opened my phone and I see I got a message yesterday and I'm still at the church. Amen. So it's been exciting. It's been really fun. And so many guys have really, really just served so much. And just, you know, God bless you and thank you so much. It's very, very exciting. Are you guys okay? All right, now let's get into the word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is true. We thank you that you have planted us, Father, in the city to do a work for your kingdom. And now, Father, you've expanded our borders and you're taking us to the Indian River Mall, Father. And that now is your place, Father. That ground belongs to you now, Lord. And now that we are there, you are there, Father. And we pray, Lord, that you will move mightily in that place, oh God. Lord, that yes, there will be a revival. Yes, there will. There will be a revival in that mall. And Father, we will give you the glory. We will give you the honor. And we will give you the praise. And now, Father, as we shift focus to this morning's message, as you prepare our hearts for what you're about to do, Lord, we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have to preach in like 15 minutes. Amen. Everybody say, Pastor, you can do it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get straight into it. And just know that, you know, I sometimes want you to look at my heart, but sometimes I don't because my heart's not always that great. Amen. But I want you to see my heart the way I'm bringing this across this morning because it's challenging in some ways. And it's, you know, and you've got to understand as well, guys, that, you know, this is the best country in the world. Okay. It really is. But I come from Africa. Okay. And it's so culturally, I've grown up different. I'm going to try and talk about some things that are a little sensitive this morning, but it's important because the walls must come down. Is that okay? They must come down. I don't want to talk politics. I don't like talking politics. I think we leave politics alone. But I want to show you this morning how you must not allow your political mindset or, your work mindset. Everything we do must stay. We must stay kingdom-minded. Is that you cannot separate. You cannot be a Christian here and act this way here and out there you are the devil. Please. Amen. You have to be the same. You have to be the same yesterday, today, and forever out there. Is that okay? Because you have Jesus living inside you. Hallelujah. So let's go to Luke 18, verse number 9. Luke 18, verse number 9. And I'm telling you this morning. I'm sharing this message with you this morning because God must prepare your heart for what's going to take place in this church. Is that okay, guys? Okay. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Now, it's very important for us that we never ever try and make ourselves righteous by looking at other people's mistakes or shortcomings. Or because we think we're holy, or we feel we pray more, or whatever it is that we classify or qualify ourselves to be better than somebody else. Is that okay? So Jesus is wanting to share this parable because he wants to show us how important it is that we understand righteousness, which we've spoken a lot about over the last few weeks, but we need to talk about a little bit more this morning, that we need to understand where our grace comes from, where our forgiveness comes from, where mercy comes from, and also the way that we approach God, regardless of how you're feeling spiritually. Because you can be on a spiritual high, glowing in the dark, and I know how that feels. Amen. Not now, okay? Well, sometimes, most of the time, okay? This week, Mike made me work too hard. So what I'm saying is that you spiritually, you're on fire. You're praying. You prayed up. You can discern things like this. You're sharp in the spirit. And even when you feel that way, you must understand that it took grace to get you there. That it was only grace that got you there. Because the grace, you need grace to pray. You need grace to fast. You need grace to do anything. So be very careful that you don't exaggerate your spirituality, especially based on your own opinions of how great you are and what you are able to do. Now let's watch and see what happens. Two men went up to the temple to pray. one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. It's very important that we take note that there are two very different types of people now going to the church to pray. One, the religious person who's very religious and holy, and the other, a tax collector who really in those days, if you were a tax collector, you were bad. Like you were really bad. Like you were qualified as like the scum of the earth if you were a tax collector. So as far as the in the world's perception, the Pharisee was a good guy, the tax collector was not. And we see them both go to the synagogue, to the church, to the temple, and we watch. I want you to take note now of how they go forward and how they go into this. Now, the one, as I said, being religious and the one being not so great. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. It is interesting that the Bible says that he prayed with himself. It doesn't say he went and he prayed to God. It says he went and he prayed with himself. And if you take a look at his prayer, I want you to see this now. God, I thank you that I am not like the other man. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the tax collector. In other words, thank God I'm not as bad as adulterers. Listen to how bad they qualify or classify the tax collector. Or even like that tax collector. Now let me stop right there. First of all, what you must take note of is that in that little sentence, he uses the word I. He uses the word I. Okay, he uses it a few times there. I want you just to see this. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now in those two sentences, he uses the word I five times. He addresses himself in prayer five times. Now, listen, it's very important that you get this morning. Okay, you cannot stay here. If I look over this crowd, I see black people, white people, Spanish people, thin people, chubby people, whatever. Okay, yeah, I like my steak. Amen. Get used to it. Amen. Okay, all right. So, what I'm trying to say is you cannot stand here and start looking at others to justify yourself. Well, at least I'm not like that. Or at least I pray a little bit more. Or at least I'm this. Listen, it doesn't matter, okay, where you come from. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter. It makes absolutely no difference. The reality is we are all the same when we get saved. How many of you know? Man, I got people upset in the first service. So I'm like, want to be careful. But I need you to understand, I come from Africa. I my grandfather was shot dead closing his business by a black man, okay? Is that okay? Can I say this, okay? My dad's sister was shot execution style in her home, also by a black man. So does that now mean that I must judge or dislike black men? Absolutely not. How can I put them in a category? How can I take someone and put them in a category? I cannot do that, okay? Black lives matter, white lives matter, Spanish lives matter, we all matter. Is that okay? There is no more of this segregation and separating. I'm so tired of it. Amen. If you are in the church, listen, if you are in the church, you are born again. That means that you have been made new. Listen, I grew up as a child in apartheid. And listen, I come from Africa. I know what apartheid is. Okay. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw people getting treated unfairly. I've also lived through what I call reverse apartheid. Is that okay? In the beginning, the blacks were oppressed. Then the whites were oppressed. Is that okay? Does that make anybody right when they do that? No. It's what's wrong is wrong. And what's right is right. And we cannot live in the past anymore. If we cannot forgive, how can we be forgiven? Is that okay? Now, when someone comes into the church and they look a little different, they have tattoos or they have nose rings and earrings that are the size of golf balls, please don't judge them. If someone comes in here and they may smell a bit bad because they're from the streets, love them. We will not have separate services for anybody. We're going to do it all together, one together, black, white, green, purple, yellow. poor, rich, doesn't make any difference to me. Is that okay? And you need to know, listen to me. You need to know that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But I also want you to realize, guys, it doesn't matter who comes in here. This is a church. We believe in the power of the Spirit. We believe in letting God move. We want Him to move. We love when He moves. But we also believe in order. Paul said, do all things in order. So when someone steps out of line, I'm going to address it. Or one of my ushers or someone will address it. We will do the best we can to always do it in love. Nobody's perfect. Amen. But don't feel, because now we're addressing someone that's maybe black, or because it's someone who's white or whatever, now there's a reason why we're addressing it. No, if we address an order of an issue of order, we address the order, the issue of order. Is that okay? Regardless of status, regardless of financial background, regardless of, it makes no difference. Amen. So don't get upset if you see something get addressed. And then think, oh no, you know, now they're judging. No, we're not judging. We're doing what we do all the time. Amen. Amen. All right, now. So we see this man, and we see how he addresses his prayers five times, completely just basically comparing himself to the tax collector. In fact, he's praising himself. He's literally going, well, I thank God I'm not like that man. I thank God I'm not like that. He's justifying himself. More than likely, the guy's got so many issues, but now he's making himself feel better by looking at someone who he feels is of lesser than he is. And it's absolutely terrible. He is justifying himself by looking at the sin or weakness and faults of others to make himself feel good. Verse number 13, now watch. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee relies on his own power and deeds before God, but the tax collector relies completely on God's mercy and compassion. He goes before God saying, God, be merciful to me. He's hitting his chest, and the Bible speaks of it as a verb that basically suggests that he's doing it over and over. And he's basically saying, Lord, my heart is wicked. My heart is wicked. Listen, when somebody does something wrong, they know. You don't have to tell them. If someone is sinning or whatever, you don't have to tell them. Listen, I need to make sure you can see your sin. No, you don't have to tell them. They know. Amen. Are you guys okay? Are you all out there? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It just shows you that regardless of how great we think we are, how we classify or qualify ourselves to be spiritual, the reality is, my friend, your heart is still wicked. And it's only by His grace that you can do anything anyway. So we need to get to that place. Listen, I am all for it. You know, I preached on it 2 weeks ago. We seek His righteousness. We seek to please Him. We seek to do good in His sight. Absolutely. But understand that even to do right in His sight requires grace. Now they want to teach you that you don't need to approach God like this anymore. You don't need to come humbly anymore, because now we're justified. So we've forgiven past, present, and future. What a load of nonsense. Are you telling me that now your heart is set up in such a way that you no longer need to approach God humbly? That you no longer need to approach God and realizing that, listen, it takes mercy, compassion, and love. And that's the only way that you're getting to where you're going. You're growing because of His grace. You're maturing because of His grace. You're moving forward because of His grace. It's all because of His grace. Amen. Okay, I've got like 4 minutes. This is really hard. Okay. He recognizes his heart. He recognizes the wickedness. Let's go back to Luke, back to verse number 14. Now watch. I tell you this. This is what Jesus says. this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We all know that scripture that says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. The reality is that God wants to always show us mercy, and we want to grow. But be careful you don't fall into the trap of thinking that you've grown so much and you've become so spiritually strong, or you've now got the power for the hour, and understand that it's taken grace to get you there. It's taken grace. There's no other way. Can you say amen? All right. It's really difficult. I'm trying to do half a sermon in 5 minutes. Amen. Okay, so let me show you something very powerful. If we go back to verse number 13, I want you to see something. It says here, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The word merciful there is very powerful, because the word merciful is the imperative verb in the text. In other words, what that suggests is that it's more like a command. It's a loud verb. It's the verb that really the whole text encompasses right around that verb, which basically screams the word mercy. Mercy. I understand, God, that it requires your mercy. But here's the powerful thing. That word mercy is only used 2 times in the New Testament. The other word mercy is a different word. That word is the word Elios. And the word Elios speaks of compassion or mercy or pity. But this word mercy is a different Greek word. And as I said, only used 2 times. It is the word halaskomai. And halaskomai, basically what it means is it suggests that you have been appropriated, that you have been, your sins have been wiped out. And he's understanding, he's standing there and he's crying out to God saying, I recognize it takes you, God, to make me holy. I recognize, God, that it takes you to make me, to show me mercy. I recognize that I require a mercy from you, God, that must be holy, that must be godly, that must be supernatural, that cannot be of anything that I do. And so I can't even lift my head, because I realize that I am not worthy. But Lord, you sent your son. You sent your son. Now, he didn't say that, but I'm saying that. Is that okay? He sent his son, guys. He sent his son for you to make you holy, to make you blameless. But never forget that it's not a common thing. The reality is that we all bleed red. Can you say amen? And there's nothing that separates us. We are all one in his sight. We are all born again. Black, white, homeless, a drug addict, a prostitute, it makes no difference. They are all welcome here. Everyone is welcome here. And we will do our best to make sure that they feel welcome here, that they feel loved here. It doesn't matter. If you get upset, if you've got a lot of money because we like homeless people, best you leave. We don't want you here. We don't want your sort. Amen. Oh, God. Man, I get myself into trouble. I say this stuff. Yeah. Is that okay? I've got no more time. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? Do you understand what I'm saying? It is time for us to stop looking at others to make ourselves feel more holy. The reality is we need to examine our own hearts, and we need to approach God humbly and say, listen, God, thank you that I'm growing. Thank you that you're using me. Thank you, Lord, but I know that it's by grace. And Father, I pray that whatever else is in my heart that needs to come out, Lord, please purge me. Take it out of my heart that I might please you, that I might do your will, Lord, that I might be used by you. And I know that it's not by might, that it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. And we give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor, for there is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, Lord. Can somebody stand and give him a shout? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we thank you, and we love you, and we worship you, because there is none like you, Lord. How is it that we could stand and think, Father, that we can do anything without you? I know what it's like, Father, to be in the bottomless pit, to be betrayed, to be rejected, to be at the bottom. And Father, it's only by grace that you took us out, Father. You've taken us, Lord, out of darkness into your marvelous light. And we know that it's by grace. And so we give you praise and thanks. And I pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts, that you will encourage us to see as you see, to have a heart like you have, oh God, and to walk in the light and to walk with your love in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.